Edward Rushton was the radical, campaigning, blind poet of Liverpool. His life spanned the 18th and 19th centuries at the time of the slave trade, of revolution, and of social upheaval. Forgotten Hero, written by Bill Hunter and narrated by George Sefton, is his story.
Chapter 3. Rushton's Times, a city built on the slave trade. Liverpool was going through rapid and substantial changes during Rushton's life. The slave trade was the main reason for its expansion. The slave trade provided the capital for building the docks, enriched and employed the mills of Lancashire, and afforded the means of opening out new lines of trade that raised Liverpool from a struggling port to be one of the richest and most progressive trading centres in the world. In the last 30 years of Rushton's life, during the Industrial Revolution, Liverpool continued to expand as a port, servicing the new industries in the area around it. Lancashire, the Northern Midlands, and Yorkshire poured their textiles, pottery, chemicals, coal, and metal products into the port. Cole and Postgate, in their book The Common People, tell of this era.
Throughout the 18th century, observers marvelled at the extraordinary increase of Liverpool's trade and prosperity. It had engaged extensively in the highly profitable trade in slaves from Africa to the West Indies and the American plantations. The gory piazzas in Liverpool, where the slaves used to be herded together by the quays, still remind the modern visitor of this unsavoury aspect of Liverpool's rise in wealth.
When we consider the extraordinary increase of Liverpool's trade and prosperity, and its emergence as one of the richest and most progressive trading centres in the world, we have to remember that the riches and prosperity were not spread throughout the city, quite the contrary. The mass of poor inhabitants crowded together in unhealthy and unsanitary conditions, increased with the trade and prosperity of the city, but they did not share in the prosperity. Liverpool was involved in the triangular trade, taking the cotton and metal products of its surrounding area to Africa in exchange for slaves, which were branded and transported on the long, terrible journey to the West Indies. The surviving slaves were sold, and the triangle completed when the ships loaded with sugar and molasses made the journey back to England. By the end of the century, it was the leading slave port in Britain, accounting for 2/3 of all slave shipping. Peter Fryer writes how many of the poorer townsfolk had a share, however slight, in the smaller slavers, and that in the 1750s, one of Liverpool's younger slave ship captains was studying for the ministry. His name was John Newton. He had experienced a sudden religious conversion in 1748, and he commanded first the Duke of Argyll and then the African, which was owned by Joseph Manistee & Co., and carried 250 slaves. He put a stop to swearing by his crews, in front of him at any rate, read them the liturgy twice on Sundays, and on one occasion tortured 4 recalcitrant black youths with thumbscrews, though only slightly, to be sure, and only to force them to confess to planning a mutiny. Newton became rector of St. Mary Woolnoth, wrote the hymn How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds, and was a friend of William Cowper, author of the lines,
"I own I am shocked at the purchase of slaves, and fear those who buy them and sell them are knaves. What I hear of their hardships, their tortures and groans, is almost enough to drive pity from stones. I pity them greatly, but I must be mum, for how could we do without sugar and rum?"
The official opinion of Liverpool's leading citizens was that the slave trade was civilising the barbarous blacks. This was in a city where thumbscrews, branding irons, and fetters for use on slaves, with devices for opening their mouths when they refused to eat, could all be seen for sale in ships' chandlers' windows. The Liverpool Council spent thousands of pounds fighting the abolition movement and conferred the freedom of the borough on those who were the spin doctors of the day, making propaganda for the slave trade. In 1788, the council voted its thanks and £100 to the Reverend Mr. Harris, who wrote showing that slavery was in line with Christian teaching. His book was entitled Scriptural Researches on the Licitness of Slavery, and declared that it was in conformity with the principles of natural and revealed religion, delineated in the sacred writings of the work of God. The slave trade was suppressed on the British mainland in 1806.